I'm speaking to Abigail Kelly, soprano. You mentioned vocal warm-ups,
yes.
Abigail. And please tell us what those are.
So just like an athlete at the Olympics would need to stretch their muscles, make sure that they are physically in a state to complete, say, the 100 meters. When I'm teaching, I always give the analogy of, does Usain Bolt just get up out of bed in the morning and go running? No, he has to get up. He does his stretches. He makes sure that you'll see him on the track and he'll be jumping up and down. He'll be, you know, moving his body. It's exactly the same thing for singers. We have to do vocal warm-ups to make sure that we don't go straight into singing without warming our muscles, the tiny, teeny, tiny muscles and the tiny, tiny membranes that actually create the sound that sounds so, so big. So we have to make sure we warm those up, and it can be anything from making very silly sounds like rolling your R's like this, or buzzing your lips together, things like that. Then we'll sing on different vowel sounds. Some of them sound quite strange, and I've had the experience recently in Montserrat where the next door neighbour's dog has been taken aback by my vocal warm-ups. He's not been very happy at all. He's been barking at me, but I think I've regained his trust now. He comes and says hello to me now when I see him. But yes, those are the vocal warm-ups that I have to do before I sing. Sometimes it may take just a few minutes of vocal warm-ups to feel vocally ready to produce a sound. Other days, depending on how you're feeling, depending on maybe you might have a cold, your sinuses might be playing up, or maybe you just might be feeling quite emotional or tired, it may take a little bit longer to warm up vocally. So it, for me, sometimes it will take half an hour. It may even take an extended period of a couple of hours of on and off vocal warm-ups for me to really feel ready to sing.
And you're here with us under the tree because you very generously donated your time to doing a benefit concert for the St. Augustine School.
Yes.
And we are going to ask you about the preparation for that. Mm-hmm. But you came in, you flew in, and 2 days later you did this concert and you stood there and you did all of that. Did jet lag or any of those stresses, have any effect on the type of performance you would have done?
I do worry that sometimes it does, but in actual fact, for the performance that just occurred, jet lag didn't really seem to affect me too much, especially because the performance was in the afternoon. So physically, my body actually felt quite nice and warm and ready. It felt like it was 8 o'clock at night, which is the kind of time that I would be performing. So for this concert, it wasn't really an issue. And then also in terms of the preparation for the concert, I'd done a lot of preparation in the UK beforehand in terms of making sure that all of the songs that I chose were songs that I knew, making sure that they were physically in my voice, in my body. By that I mean that that I could sing them at a moment's notice without worrying that I wouldn't be able to hit a certain note, for example. So a lot of preparation was done beforehand. And then when I got to the country, when I got to Montserrat, I was able, very fortunately, to have 2 days' worth of rehearsals for 2 hours each day with Rebecca, who was a fantastic pianist who we had, Rebecca Chalmers, who's here on the island. And the rehearsals went so, so smoothly. It was all so easy. It was all fantastic. So yes, it was quite an easy preparation coming to Montserrat to perform in the concert.
When we heard, those of us under the tree who heard you, when we heard you on stage, there's at least one person who said that you sounded like a lark.
Yes. That's so lovely. That's so kind. Sometimes people describe my sound, maybe not so much now, but when I was a bit younger, like a bell which is another beautiful way of saying it. I love all of these different ways of describing voices. Sometimes people describe voices as being like velvet, which is a nice, rich, soft, warm sort of sound. Sometimes I'm bell-like. Maybe I might sound like a lark. And sometimes, hopefully, I sound like velvet too.
And you've traveled around the world sharing that beautiful voice.
Yes, I've traveled quite a lot. I've been very fortunate. I've been to South Africa and performed with the Johannesburg Philharmonic Orchestra out there. I've traveled to Grand Cayman most recently for a performance out there, another fundraising performance. Montserrat, obviously. I've performed in Italy, in Germany, in France, in Spain, and in Jamaica, of course, which is where my parents are from. So yes, a lot of traveling. And not to, you know, say that traveling abroad is the best form of traveling for the work that I do. I also travel extensively across the UK, which has been wonderful, really, really wonderful, because sometimes you don't actually get to explore the country that you're from. So being in a touring opera company has had me in Bath, in Cheltenham, in Malvern, in Perth, in Scotland, in Belfast. I'd never been to Belfast before until I went because of an opera. I've never been to Kendal before in the Lake District because of an opera. So all of these places in the UK that I hear of and that I see on the news, I would never have had the opportunity to go to had it not been for the work that I do and for the genre of music that I've gone into.
And we are so delighted that you're here with us in Montserrat at this time of year. Not only is it the 50th anniversary of our festival, but it's Christmas time. And what have you noticed about Christmas in Montserrat?
It's an experience, I have to say. I've never had an experience like it before. The festival being the pivotal thing, I think, about this season in Montserrat has been just so interesting to be part of, to see. I've managed to go to quite a few events. I've been such a social butterfly while I've been here, more so than I've been in the UK. When I'm in the UK, I do my teaching, I come home, I may have a rehearsal or two, and then I relax for the evening, basically. But here around Christmas time, it's go, go, go. It's been so fantastic. I've really enjoyed the Night of Pan. I listened to the most fantastic steel pan playing, and I saw the most fantastic steel pan performance, in fact, from the Hell's Gate steel pan group from Antigua. And the subtlety with which they played the drums was just phenomenal. It really, really was a highlight of my trip, I think. So, yes, Christmas in Montserrat has been a real experience to be treasured for me. For example, the drinks are similar to what I know of Christmas in Jamaica, which is where I've said that my parents are from. So sorrel. I've had quite a bit of sorrel while I've been here, which has been lovely. I've enjoyed the tart, the sorrel and tart specifically. I've taken some of that home with me. So by the time you're hearing this, I should be at the other end of the world drinking sorrel and eating some tart. And it's just been a fantastic experience.
And this will be a lovely time to have your fourth bit of music.
So this piece of music is Away in a Manger. However, it's not the Away in a Manger that people are accustomed to. It's the Away in a Manger which has actually been arranged by Reginald Jacques. He's a English choral and orchestral conductor. And again, this book, Carols for Choirs, it comes from that. It's another one of these carols that I sang as a child in my local church choir. It's a much more haunting version of Away in a Manger, which I think brings out the bleakness of what would have actually been that stable at that time of year. It would have been cold, it would have been quiet, it would have been, you know, quite a haunting place to be, not many lights. So this is the version of Away in a Manger that I love.
A very youthful look, and some people wonder and they ask the question as to whether that you're the usual type of, you know, you have the usual type of physique for an opera singer and especially a soprano.
I get asked that all the time. As soon as I came off the plane, I think people looked at me and said, but that's not what a soprano, well, that's not what an opera singer looks like, full stop. And, you know, mention was of Pavarotti. And so, no, like I said before, in terms of keeping yourself healthy vocally, physically, that's a big part of it. And you'll find that singers nowadays are slim, they're fit, they're, you know, they're not the what you would have thought of in the past as these big singers, you know, really rather fat. And no, we're quite a healthy bunch, the majority of us. So yeah, my youthful look, I mean, I'm still quite young. I'm, you know, I'm still quite interested in fashion, and mm-hmm. I love all kinds of music, from soca to rock music, to the pop music in the UK. I love pop music from Korea. I have quite a varied musical taste. So, and being young as well is just a mental thing as well. It's if you think about being young and if you're youthful in character, exactly, then you will look youthful too. So, yes, I try and bring a sense of youthfulness to my performances and to my outlook on my career as well.
And what would you say to anyone who wants to enter into this field? But I, you know, given my interest in, as an educator, what would you say to young people who would want to pursue a career
well,
of this type?
First of all, I'd say it's not just for young people. I would say it's never, ever too late to pursue this career. If the talent is there, then all you have to do is nurture it and be determined. Some of the greatest opera singers in recent times have had a very interesting journey. They haven't had the journey that I have, which is going specifically to music college, doing an undergraduate, doing a postgraduate, and then going out into the world. Some have just enjoyed singing, have had a natural singing operatic voice, and someone later on in their life has said, you know, you really should try and go and audition for an opera school, or go and audition for some operatic work. So if the talent is there and the will is there, then by all means, no matter what age, go for it. For younger people who are interested in going to the music college route of things, I'd say that It's a fantastic experience, very much so. You meet a lot of like-minded individuals who are all passionate about the same genre of music. And again, going back to the youthful thing, there are a lot of young people who are going into music colleges in the UK. The competition is so, so great. It really, really is, that it makes me feel very happy that opera is alive and it is very well in terms of the youth of people, the age of people who are pursuing opera as a career.
And this would be a lovely time for us to have your next piece of music.
So this is O Come All Ye Faithful. I love singing this carol. It's one of my favorites. again, from my Carols for Choirs books, we would be there on Christmas morning with this carol, singing the descant to the penultimate verse, Sing Choirs of Angels. And I don't know if you know, but traditionally the final verse, Yea, Lord, we greet thee, is not actually sung at all during the Christmas period until Midnight Mass. So until Midnight Mass, you're not supposed to sing the final verse. So we always, on the run-up to Christmas, we end with the descant, which is the soprano singing a different melody on top of everybody else who would be singing all together in unison, singing the same melody. And that's where we would leave it in the run-up to Christmas. But then on Christmas Day, after the descant is sung, then everybody sings in unison the very, very last verse. Oh, it's just spectacular. So that's why I've chosen this one.
So those of us who are under the tree, who are listening to you, are actually getting that feeling of Christmas. It's not long now. And you've really set the stage for us with O Come All Ye Faithful, and especially that last verse, Yea, Lord, we greet thee. And you're about to leave us as
yes.
well. You're about to leave us.
I'm very upset.
But before you go, we would like to give you three things from which you will choose one to help you deal with the fact that you're leaving us now. Would it be something to eat or drink, something to read, or a piece of music?
Oh, I think it would have to be a piece of music. I can choose anything I like?
Yes.
Ooh, I think I'd choose Ding Dong Merrily on High. But again, not the version that I think people would be used to in terms of being sung by voices. This one is being sung by a fantastic jazz band, the Swingfield Band. I don't know very much about them. All I know is that I love this version of it. I love jazz music. Like I said before, there's a whole world of music out there that is to be enjoyed, of all different genres, all different types, classical, operatic, jazz, folk. So this is my tribute to different types of music at Christmas time.
Abigail Kelly, we're delighted to have you under the tamarind tree.
Thank you.
We're delighted to have you with us this week. And as you leave us, we could only wish you and your family and everybody you come in touch with in Birmingham a prosperous new year.
Thank you.